For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Is Truma. It is the first Torah portion of five in a row that are going to deal with the building of the tabernacle, the Mishkan, okay? Many things are described in the tabernacle. Amongst those things, the more, if you will, popular items is the Shulchan, the table. There was showbread, 12 loaves that stayed miraculously fresh from one Shabbos to the next. Another item, the menorah, right? A 7-candle menorah. Another one of the very mystical kalim vessels in the Mishkan. The mizbeach, the altar, okay? Of course, the central heart of the Mishkan, and I use that term on purpose, was the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy of Holies, okay? And on it was the kruvim, these cherub-like figures, right? And this was a box within a box within a box, three boxes, and there was the Ten Commandments, the two tablets of stone. Now I use the term that's the heart of the Mishkan because the Mishkan is a microcosm of the world and of the human body. And the Medrash goes into details about what parallels what, okay? And the Kodesh Kodeshim, as far as the human body goes, that was the heart. That was the center, the lifeblood, because that was the Torah, okay? So, and there's many other things that are compared to other things in the human body and in the world at large. So the Mishkan is called a microcosm, and in reality, the whole world is supposed to be a Mishkan to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? But because something happened, a sin that we did, and we had to focus on something more limited, we'll discuss that, God willing, next week. After the sin of the golden calf, the Mishkan was limited to a particular place at a particular time instead of the whole world being the Mishkan of Hashem, but we're looking forward to the time when that is going to be so. Okay, the times of the Mashiach, the whole world will be a Mishkan to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, one of the things that's described in the Mishkan is the Parochus. The Parochus is the curtain that divided the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy from the Holy of Holies, just like we have in Shul. Again, our Shul is called a Mikdash Ma'at, a miniature sanctuary, a miniature temple. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tremendous chesed towards us, that with the destruction of the temple, he said, you know what? I'm going to give you a miniature temple to take with you. Okay? In a certain sense, that's the only place that we're now in exile, when you're in Shul. Right? You go beyond, or in a base medrash learning Torah like we are, you go beyond time, dimension, and you're already holding the Yimei Mashiach. You're in Torah. We're at Mount Sinai right now. That's true. They say anytime you learn Torah, it's as if you're right at Mount Sinai again. Okay? And the truth is, the Mishkan was built because B'nai Yisrael, the children of Israel, had this tremendous vision at Mount Sinai. They saw how the heavenly host encamped in four sections around the God's throne of glory, whatever this means. And they had a tremendous desire to be like that on earth. We, the children of Israel, we wanted to serve God like the angels on high. So therefore, Hashem said, gave us the command for the Mishkan, and our groupings when we traveled are in these four segments, east, west, north, and south, three tribes on each, right? And the Mishkan in the middle, representing like God's throne of glory, right? Exact duplication here on earth, serving Hashem as the angels do on high. And that's what it is. The Sinai experience continues with the children of Israel throughout the desert. Hashem dwells with us like... We didn't want to leave Sinai. You know, we had such a tremendous debacus cleaving to God there of His open presence. So He manifests His love even more so by giving us a portable Sinai. That is what the Mishkan is. A portable Sinai. And therefore, the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy of Holies, that's the heart. Because Mount Sinai was all about giving the Torah. The Holy of Holies, that is where the Ten Commandments are. Okay? So, I'm going to read to you in Hebrew. Das Kenin Bali Taisvos. This is his words. that we had that Sinai experience. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this commandment to build a Mishkan. Misham Tishra Shechina the Yisrael Sadim Kamor Malachim Sadim Kisei HaKavod. Now we would surround the Mishkan just like the angels on high surround Hashem's throne of glory. Okay? Vashchina b'neim, and the Shechina dwells amongst us. And that's what it means when it says at the beginning of our Torah portion, it says, build for me a Mishkan, v'shachanti b'seicham, I will dwell amongst you. You see the problem? Let's look at it inside. This is chapter 25, right? Verse 8. Okay? Now, so it says, v'asuli mikdash, build for me a mikdash, v'shachanti b'seicham, I'll dwell within you. It should say, I'll dwell within it. But this is what it means, one of the meanings at least, is that I will dwell amongst you like I did at Mount Sinai. Right? The Sinai experience is repeated. So this is what the Das Kenyan Bali Tosis tells us, that we were account, Kamo B'Seicha Malachim, just like Hashem dwelt with the angels on high, who are around His Kisei HaKavod, His throne of glory, so too here, right, that Hashem is dwelling with us. Okay? And by the way, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Amarti, Elohim Atem Uvnei Elyon Kuchem, that you're like sons of God, you know, you're like angels, the children of Israel. And then, of course, we did the sin of the golden calf. But we are at a very high level at this point, okay? Okay. Heidi is hinting to there's a rule in Torah, in Mukta Mamucha B'Torah. There's no, like, chronological order in Torah. But that's like a very, like, last resort answer. Okay, the truth is, we have a commandment to build the Mishkan, right? In two parshas before the golden calf, Truma and Tetzaveh, describes different things involved in the Mishkan or the close of the Kohen Gadol next week. Then we have Parsha Kisisa, which deals with the sin of the golden calf. And then we have another two parshas of the building of the Mishkan. And this is debated by Ramban, Nachmanides, Sephorno, many commentaries. When was the commandment of the Mishkan to be built? It seems like it was atonement for the golden calf. There's a lot of parallels, right? The first offering was a calf to atone for the calf. The first monetary offering as far as metals was gold. Okay, a lot of things to atone. So the answer to your question is basically there was a commandment to build a Mishkan before the golden calf that evidently was to be purely spiritual. I'll read it to you. This is the Sephorno who says this. Okay, and he says, so I can dwell amongst you, right? So I can accept your prayers. Lo kamosha ya inin kadama ego. But this is not the way it was supposed to be before the sin of the ego. Then the Mishkan would have been a pure spiritual dimension. Sephorno says, v'kol makom avor lecha. Any place you call my name, I would come to you. Okay, so there was a commandment evidently to build a Mishkan before the sin of the golden calf, a pure spiritual type thing. The golden calf, the structure of the Mishkan changed to a more physical because we showed ourselves to be more physical. So that seems to be one of the opinions on that. I'm opening up with a story. That was all an introduction. Okay. Now, we said a lot of things in our shul's parallel. Right? That's what Shem's Chesed gives, the portable Mishkan, and that's why, by the way, you see the Bima. Well, that's parallel to the Shulchan, right? And the Pareichus, as we mentioned, where the Holy of Holies is, where our Torah is in the Ark, okay? Just like in the Mishkan, the Ne'er Tamid, a lot of things, right? Even the Ezras Nashim, okay? In the Mishkan, the base of Migdash, there was a balcony where the women were. It's called the Ezras Nashim, so too in our Shul, okay? So, but this Pareichus, I want to tell you a little story about the Pareichus that divides the Holy from the Holy of Holies. Okay, in the Holy, what was in the Holy? The Menorah, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach. You know, the altar, the table, the Menorah, very holy items. Okay, but in the Holy of Holies, only one thing, and that was the Ten Commandments. Okay, in the Ark. So, the great Lubliner Rebbe of Meir Shapira, you might know him. If you've heard of Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi is this, he instituted this. Everybody learns the same page of Gemara. As a matter of fact, coming up soon is going to be, I think, the 10th Siyum, the tenth completion of the entire Talmud. Right? The tenth time. It takes 7 years to go through it, doing it one page a day. And it's going to be at Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden is already sold out. It's a tremendous thing. So he instituted this idea. One page of Gemara a day, all Jewry doing the same page. Anyways, he came to America to collect for the yeshiva in Europe. You know, his first experience in America, right? And in the early part of the 1900s, I guess. So when he came back to Europe, you know, his students asked him, you know, what do you think about America? Listen how sharp. Listen what he answered. He said, in America, they know how to make Kiddush, but they don't know how to make Havdalah. In America, they know how to make, everything's Kiddush. Everything's all in America. Hollywood's Kiddush, and sports is Kiddush, and animals are Kiddush, and environmental activists, everything's Kiddush, but no Havdalah. Havdalah means a division, a distinction. There's no Havdalah. They don't, everything is the same there. Mamela, if there's no Havdalah, there's no Kiddush. If you don't know how to make a distinction between, you know, holy and the Holy of Holies, even there, even within holiness, you gotta know priorities, you gotta know your balance, right? Do we care about the environment? Of course we care about the environment. But how much time and energy you spend on that compared to nurture your soul, okay? We're, you know, you got to draw lines. You got to weigh things here, right? There's a parochus that divides the holy from the Holy of Holies. In life, you got to know what's Holy of Holies, right? You got to know what comes first. Your Yiddishkeit, your neshama, your learning, you know? I'm not even talking about when it comes to physical versus spiritual. I'm talking about within spiritual, right? Right? We are, you know, the people, there's some people that, whatever it is, they enjoy doing a certain chesed. Gavaltic. But, you know, that could be a Yetzer Hara too, if it distracts you from, well, I don't know, whatever it is, you know. You could be doing a chesed to help, I know someone's helping the homeless. You know, I don't know if they're really helping them. They should help them stand on their own 2 feet and leave them alone, okay? But, the mindset, I don't know, you know, you got your own people to worry about, you know, people are, so what about, you know, you got your assimilated Jews, you got your own neshama, you got your learning to do, you know, you got to weigh things, you got priorities. Okay, so that's one of the lessons here. Question. Okay, you know, it's amazing how many things in mythology come up. You know, where does it come from? Did it just think of out of the blue? We see a lot of it comes from the Torah. Of course, they expand on it. And we talked once about the staff, the famous staff of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That he hit the rock with and he split the sea with. I mean, of course, it was a miracle because Baruch Hu did it with an instrument. So the Medrash says that was in the backyard of Yisro. Did you know that? It was buried in his backyard and no one could take it out. And the tradition was, whoso pulls out this staff from, you know, would be rightful king, would be the rightful owner of that staff. Sound familiar? Excalibur, you know, the sword, who could pull out of the stone. That's what they got from. In our parsha, there's an animal, chapter 25, verse 5, called Tehoshim. That's what it says. And they took the skin of this animal and they used it, right? Say that's another, here's a good example of priorities. Do we care about animals? Yes. But let me tell you, the greatest honor for an animal was that it could be used for the mission. You know, animals during the time the temple used to offer themselves, used to run to the temple. You know what a tragedy is? A tragedy is when a cow lived to 20 years out in the field, dies, and a man never had any use of it. An animal gets elevated if man uses it, right? And as a matter of fact, all of creation is elevated. That's a lot to do with the sacrifices. On every sacrifice, you had all four elements. You had salt, right, on every carbon. You had a meal offering from the vegetable world. You had the animal, right? And man, the Kohen Gadol, used to place his hands on it. So all four elements of creation was elevated. That was part of making the whole world a Mishkan, which God willing we're going to talk about. The idea of making the whole world a Mishkan, elevating the world. By the way, that's what the word Truma means, to elevate. Elevate the physical by using it for spiritual. Absolutely. When a man, if you eat, any person who eats an animal, because an ant is higher than an animal, right? But especially if that animal merits that a Jew eat it, and especially if that Jew eats it on Shabbos, you know, it says a bracha over it, and eats it on Shabbos, that animal merits it to be used for a suda mitzvah, it's a tremendous thing. Well, can you imagine if that animal zeicha, that his skin was used for leather straps for tefillin? It's a tremendous elevation of it. This gets very mystical in previous incarnations and stuff. But yes, that's the greatest thing that can happen to an animal, okay? So it's interesting, all these animal activists and all these things, they could be doing the worst harm to animals. Because I don't know what to do. The Torah gives us a guide. We have mitzvahs, no cruelty to animals, tzar ba'al chayim. But again, what's kodesh kadoshim? You got to weigh these things. Tachashim. Anyways, this animal is a multicolored skin animal, and it was used to cover the Mishkan, and the Medrash describes it as having a single horn protruding from its forehead. Isn't that amazing? Where else have they got that? Atse Shittim, there was cedar wood. Where did the cedar wood come from? Does anybody know? Are we talking about those ones? Well, actually, the cedar wood came, Yaakov Avinu, when he came down to Egypt, right, when Yosef was viceroy, he knew in prophecy that we were going to be commanded to build the Mishkan. So what did he do? In Egypt, he knew that they worshipped trees. That was one of their idol worshipings. They worshipped nature. They were the original environmental activists. Okay, they worship nature, and much like they do today. And so he took down trees from Israel, and he brought them down there, and he commanded his children, when they leave, they should take these, because Hashem is going to give you the commandment to build the Mishkan. This is really Rashi. As you can find, this is all Rashi. Okay? All these elements, the Aron, okay, I'll read you, this is from the Gemara, Menachos says, Hashem says in chapter 25, verse 40, you know, to build this, Atam Maya Bahar, like I showed you at Mount Sinai, Aron Shoesh, a Aron, the Aron Kodesh, a fire, Shulchan Shoesh, a table of fire, and a menorah Shoesh, and a menorah fire, Yordi Mina Shemayim Vera Moshe. They came down, these three items, which are very mystical items, came down in fire, in the image of fire from heaven, and because Moshe could not understand how to build them. They're very mystical concepts. As a matter of fact, we have a verse, chapter 25, verse 9, like everything I've showed you, as Tavnis HaMishkan, the building of the Mishkan, as Tavnis Kol Kelav V'chen Ta'asu, and all the vessels. So it seems like, according to one opinion, all the vessels of the Mishkan were, and the Mishkan itself was shown to Moshe in a vision of fire of how to build it. It says in particular about the menorah, because it was so mystical. Moshe Rabbeinu had a very hard time figuring out how to build it, and he was shown this vision of fire, and then he built it. I'm telling you all this so you weren't just thinking these are simple vessels. These are tremendous ramifications in mystical spheres in the spiritual world. As we mentioned, it was parallel to a lot of things. The word truma, we mentioned, is to raise up. To roim. Roim is to raise up, to elevate things. And really, that was what was happening here. The Mishkan was a truma, it was a bikurim of people's talents. The first talents, craftsmen, tailors, people who sewed, all these things, the weave, all these things, the first fruits of these talents and skills were given over to God in the form of building the Mishkan. And that's a truma, it elevated it. Okay, as a matter of fact, they say the women also had a special wisdom that they were able to spin wool off the sheep without killing it. Oh gosh, the animal activists will love that one. Okay. Okay. Now, where did Moshe... They didn't have to shear it off. There was an animal sitting right there, and they were doing it, evidently. It was a special wisdom. They mentioned this. It was a special chokmah. Okay. Where did Moshe get divine communication from? Anybody know? Okay, he got it from those two cherubs. I want you to remember this when we discuss in a couple weeks, because we have a commandment, no graven images, and yet the Torah commands... The Mishkan, these two golden cherub figures, Kruvim, right? They're the face of children, right? It's an amazing thing. As a matter of fact, the Beis Levi says the only difference between the golden calf and these cherubs was one was commanded by God and one wasn't. Or else the cherubs would have been also an idol. They had you don't have to have a figure of a human being. No, you cannot. In fact, the only reason you're allowed to have dolls, a kid's allowed to have dolls, is because he's mevazed. He treats it with disgustingly. He schleps it on the floor. He steps on it. All these things. But there's a big problem. People have these little statues of human figures. So what we normally do is we usually, clip its nose or, we're going to discuss this more in the golden calf, how the similarity to what the golden calf is really about, the vision, and how it's very similar to the cherubs, in fact. Okay. But anyway, Moshe's divine communication, the voice animated, this voice of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, if we can say that, came from between these two cherubs. They had like wings, right? And they were looking at each other. The wings were going forward towards heaven. And from between these two, of course, underneath it was a box. You know, they were attached to a box where the Ten Commandments were. A voice, a Kodesh Baruch Hu's voice, if you will, and that's where it came from, and Moshe got his prophecy from there. So that is, that's a Rashi. Rashi tells us in chapter 25, verse 22, Mi ben shnei akruvim, that Moshe got his divine communication from between the two kruvim. Oh, by the way, says the Baal HaTurim, Mi ben shnei akruvim, from between the two cherubs, is the acronym of those three words, is Moshe. Because that's where he heard the divine communication. Mi ben Mem, Shnei, Shin, Hakruvim, Hey, Moshe. The Shulchan, just to tell you some of the things, the mystical properties we're dealing with here, the Shulchan, the table, it brought blessing, not just to Israel, but to the whole world. It brought materialistic blessing to the whole world. Okay? That's what it represented, one of the things. Okay? We can't go into all of these. I'm just picking a few. There was 10 yirios, 10 layers of fabrics, of tapestry over the Mishkan. This was parallel to the 10 sayings that God said and created the world. If you look at the count of Bereishit, it says, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem said 10 times. Yeah, it said he created the world 10 times. As we said, there's the parallels here. So these are parallel to the 10 sayings that the world was created. Okay? And, obviously there's more to that. There's a much deeper mystical Kabbalistic meaning, but, we can't go into all that because I don't know it. Okay. But Yikuli Truma, everybody asks a question. We have a few questions we want to answer. Number one, we started to do already, and that is that it says, build, assuming Mikdash, built me a Mikdash for Shachanti B'Seicham, and I'll dwell amongst you, when it should say, I shall dwell in it. We gave one answer, we'll hope to get some more. The other question that all the commentaries ask is on chapter 25, verse 2, and that is, Gaber B'nai Yisrael, speak to Yisrael, B'yikuli Truma, take for me an offering. Anybody, you guys see the problem? Take from me an offering. If you offer something, it should say, give an offering. Right. What is that? Tell Israel that they will take by giving an offering. Vayikru, they will receive by giving an offering. Many, many commentaries on here. So let's share a few of them. Okay. First of all, a person has to understand that really he can give nothing to God. Like it says, David HaMelech says, Kimimcha kol. Everything is from you. Miyacha noisim lecha. From your hand, we're giving you. I mean, right? Does anybody put a mezuzah on his house without Hashem first giving you the house? Right? Does anybody give tzedakah without Kodesh Baruch Hu first giving you the money? So that really the only thing we can give Hashem is the willingness to give. Okay? And by the way, Bezalel, the main craftsman of the Mishkan, he, part of his wisdom of getting all the offerings of all the gold and silver and everything, he could tell each person giving how pure it was. In other words, this guy was a big tzaddik who's given it all for the sake of heaven, right? So that gold went to build the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Ark, right? This other person wanted to honor people to think high of them, a little bit of that. So maybe that only went to his material, his donation went to build the table, maybe, or the curtains, okay? So accordingly, so they say the same thing happens today. If a person has ulterior motives, right, and didn't give such a good heart, and he gives, a donation to Yeshiva, he gets credit for it. But that money will end up being used to pay the electric bill. While somebody else, is given a really pure intention, so that money will go directly into maybe the kollel's hands, and the kollel in the yeshiva to learn, or some books, or whatever it is, okay? Accordingly, so you get that much, reap that much more benefit from it. Okay, but let's go back to this. V'yikuli truma, take from me a truma. You'll be taking, you won't be giving. Because the truth is, right? And Ruth tells us to Boaz, by the way. Wait, kicha, how can you say it's kicha? It's nesina, it's giving. But what it's telling you, for a little bit of money, you know, that you're giving up, you're receiving a lot more. You're getting olam haba. And that's what Ruth says to Boaz, is the man I did chesed with today. What happened? Ruth went there and Boaz gave her a lot of food. And she came back to Naomi and said, the man I did chesed, he gave me a little food. I gave him olam haba. I let him do the mitzvah. Okay? So that's the idea. By giving to Hashem, we're really taking, we're really receiving, we're receiving eternity for a few pennies. Okay, that's one answer. Now, if you look at Rashi on that verse, we're not finished with that answer. Rashi says, what is the very first Rashi? Take from me a truma, li lishmi, for me, for my sake. So that's also mysterious what that means. So even though you realize that by giving this a little amount of materialistic things, you receive olam haba, you receive eternal reward, despite that, that shouldn't be the reason you do it. Don't be like, you know, a servant serving God to receive reward, but serve Him out of, because you want to serve out of love. So that's what Rashi says, li lishmi. Even though it's true, you're getting, it's a good business deal. You're giving up a few pennies and you're getting eternity, but still, that shouldn't be the reason you're doing it. You should do it because you want to serve God. You're doing it, you're fulfilling His commandments. Okay, so that's what that means. That's a very good question.
Judaism.
Well, not necessarily.
Nurture,
you
know, Judaism.
Well, it depends what you call Judaism. These things that you mentioned are not good entities. They don't stand for Torah. They do not stand for Torah. They stand for uprooting Torah, planting trees in Israel. It's a foolishness. You give that money to Mir Yeshiva, you give money to build Torah. There's nothing greater. The heart of the Mishkan was the Holy of Holies. You give money to build Torah institutions. Israel needs to be infused with Torah. We're hoping one day it won't be run by a secular government. It'll be run by Torah. Baruch Hashem, it's getting stronger and stronger there. That's what needs to be. Again, even if these things were kosher that you mentioned, which they are not, by the way, they're traced. But even if they were, you still have to know what's holy and what's holy of holies. Okay? Even at best, if planting a tree in Israel, okay, it's nice, it could help the land. But again, what's more important? A tree or the tree of life, the Torah? That was cute the rat threw it in there, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. There's some very fun, you know, the yeshivas, there's orphanages, the Diskin orphanage, if you have a sensitivity to that arena. Or, you know, there's many. Yeah, absolutely. I think he's talking about Israel. Obviously, in this town, the Kollel is a very good institution. This Kollel, which Rabbi Silverman is a part of, it's unbelievable. I don't know how they do it, but they have helped so many people, and they've changed the face of this town in 10 years. It's absolutely amazing. They've literally, like Avraham Avinu made souls here. Okay, let's move on. On this theme, that the gold and the silver that was donated, the physical donations, made the outside of the temple. Okay, made it outside of the Mishkan. But what, you know, there's like a body and a spirit, a body and a soul to everything. So the body of the Mishkan was made up from the gold and silver. But the pneumius, the inner dimension, the essence of the Mishkan was made up from the pure thoughts, the pure intentions of the giver. As we mentioned, Bezalel knew how pure the intention was and accordingly designated it for those particular vessels. The more holy the thoughts, the more holy that money went to the vessels. So this is important, by the way, because we see this in everything. There's always the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, right? That's important. You know, Shabbos, you can keep Shabbos, you know, and you can sit there and set a timer, you know, and watch the World Series, and I think you're missing the point of Shabbos, right? Or you could talk about secular things and just miss the, not to mention that you're missing a divine opportunity to reflect and to lock into certain, you know, and Shabbos in general, by the way, you get certain insights you don't get the rest of the week. You should spend it learning Torah. You'll see that you're given the Neshama Yisera, an extra soul. Literally, you could. Things are opened up to you in dimensions that don't happen at other times. That's what I mean. It's like a glimpse of the future world. Okay, let's move on. Chaim Yoffe says a beautiful vort on this by Huli Truma. Okay? First of all, one idea that we want to mention in general is what he quotes is from the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin is, how are you, how do you get engaged to a woman? You know, if anybody could tell me this, I would greatly appreciate it because I've been wrestling this for years. Okay, so the way it works is you are, the technical term is you koine her, you acquire her. You give her something of value, and you acquire. Now, of course, that's traditionally done with the ring. Okay? Now, there's one exception. It's an amazing exception. And the word that the Gemara in Kedushin uses is Kabbalas Adam Chashuv Hevi Nesina. And that means that there's one occasion where she could actually give something to him, and yet she's considered like she was acquired. And the Kedushin works. She's engaged. Why? If he's an Adam Chashuv, if he's such an important personage that her giving something and he willingly accepts it, she feels that she received. Okay, let me give it to you in secular terms. If I gave a pen to Rabbi Feldman, you know, it cost me $5.46, and he uses it every day, who receives more? I'm thrilled that he would use something I would give him, right? So it's really me that received, even though I gave him the pen. Same thing, this lady that gave the man something, he's such an important person that she benefits. She gets a tremendous hana'a, that's the key word, a benefit, a pleasure that he accepts her gift. Same thing here with the Mishkan. Vayikhu li truma. You know, you're really taken because look what you're doing. You're donating gifts to who? To HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So who's really receiving? You merit. You flesh and blood people, you get to merit to give something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept it and build his house and dwell in it by your donations. So who's really receiving? It's a great honor for you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept your donations. So that's another reason why that word is Vayikuli Tuma. You're really receiving. You're acquiring by giving an offering. Questions? Next thing we want to bevarn is the following. Now, we said we had another kash. Okay, that's answered some of the questions, interpretation, why it says acquire when you're really offering. Vayikuli Tuma. The other question, we gave one answer to it. Vayikuli Mikdash, make for me a sanctuary, the Shechasi B'Seicham, and I will dwell amongst you. Not amongst in it, right? So what does that mean? Well, for one thing, one quick answer I can give you, B'shechazi b'seicham, Hashem dwells in you, in each one of us. In other words, and by the way, let me just finish this up, because Rashi on that verse, again, Rashi says something very mysterious. Rashi says on chapter 25, verse 8, what does it mean, make me a mikdash? He says, make it l'doros, for all time. You know, how can that be? We don't have a Mishkan for this term, like right now. We don't have a temple. So what does it mean for all time? Okay? So one answer to this is that this is there's two mitzvahs here, so to speak. There's a physical Mishkan you're to build. But in addition to that, Hashem wants us, each one of us, to make ourselves into a Mishkan that He can dwell. And more specifically, our homes. And as a matter of fact, there's a famous Rambam at the end of Exodus, of the book of Exodus, that he says, this is called the book of redemption. It starts off with the Exodus from Egypt, and it ends with the completion of the building of the Mishkan. And Rambam says, Nachman says, really only now the redemption is complete, when we have a Mishkan and we're back to the level of the tent of the patriarchs. You understand? He says, now the redemption is complete. In other words, it's amazing chiddush, he's saying. He's saying the original Mishkan was the tents of Avram and Sarah, of Yitzchak and Rivka, of Yaakov, Rachel, and Leah. Those were the original Mishkan. That was the original Mishkan. And now we got back to our level, so now we're considered redeemed. You understand? So the original tents of the patriarchs and the matriarchs, that was the Mikdash. Therefore, today, you know, our commandment, how do we feel this, fulfill this commandment? Rosh says it's for all times. The same way it was originally fulfilled, making our individual homes a Mishkan. What does that mean? That means it's a home that there's no TV, for one thing. It means it's a home that you do tzedakah. It's a home that you talk words of Torah. It's a home that you do mitzvahs, you do acts of kindness, you take in guests, all these things. That makes it a Mishkan that Hashem can dwell in. Okay? So that kind of Mishkan, that can be Ladurus. That can be for all time, right? It's not a limit in a specific time. So that's one meaning, B'shachanti B'seicham, I'll dwell amongst you, the Jewish people, wherever you are. Okay, questions on this before we move on? Okay, this really, by the way, it fits very well with that word truma that we said before, and I'll read you from the Torah Mo'adim, Rav Zevin, the word truma from the word roim, the inyane haroma vazbo, is to lift up, korach miyucha lebnei Yisrael. We have a special strength, laharim devorim gashmiim, that we can raise physical items, v'laseisam kodesh, and we can make them holy. We can take a behema, a cow, tear off its skin, it's nothing, and all of a sudden make it into tefillin straps, and it's holy. Right? You can't throw it away. So that's a tremendous power that we have, and then you go along and say, tzachay olam hazeh, that's the whole purpose of everything in this world, shemishdamshim b'hem l'tzachay kedusha. It gets its ultimate elevation, as we mentioned before, the whole purpose of materialistic things is to use them for holiness. And that's the word truma. You raise it, and that way, this, Vasali Mikdash, you can make the whole world a Mishkan, and Hashem can dwell in it. Okay. No coincidence that the Mishkan, the building time, was always read in the month of Adar. Now, even this year, when it's a leap year, all the portions of Mishkan always fall in the month of Adar. Okay? So, and again, this is still going to connect to Rashi's statement for all generations, right? And I'll dwell amongst you. Another thing that we're going to see, in conjunction that the Mishkan, the parshas that we read about the building of Mishkan is always in Adar, right? And this idea that Hashem dwells amongst us, and this idea of all for all time, we have another item here that we're going to see repeated over and over again in the next five parshas, and that is Shabbos. For some reason, Shabbos is mentioned over and over again in conjunction with the building of the Mishkan. Now, it happens that the 39 malachas, the 39 forbidden labors you don't do in Shabbos, we learn out from the building of the Mishkan. Those 39 labors that was building that took to build the tabernacle, different types of grinding and, you know, breaking, all these type of things, right? Breaking, oh, breaking is one of them. Okay, braiding, oh, braiding. Okay, all these things, they are learned out from the Mishkan. Those are things we can't do on Shabbos. And by the way, these are also the 39 types of work that were done in creation of the world. Again, the Mishkan, the tabernacle, being a microcosm of the world. Okay. The Mishkan, there's this element of a soul of time and place. Three Kedushas. Holiest time, the holiest time of the year, Yom Kippur. Right? The holiest man, the Kohen Gadol. Right? The holiest spot, the Beis Hamikdash. Right? But in Zman, besides Yom Kippur, really the holiest time is Shabbos. So in a certain sense, Shabbos is the tabernacle of time. It's the Mishkan of time. And that's it really is. You step back, you go out. So that's the connection we see many times. It's repeated over and over again in the Bnei Mishkan, the idea of Shabbos. Besides that, we learn out the malachas and everything, is that these two go together. Just like the Mishkan is the holiest thing as far as physical space, right? Shabbos is that same dimension in time. Adar.
Yes.
If you think about it, Shabbos is a time you get out of the world, the workaday world. You enter a tabernacle of time. You're in shul, you daven, you pray. The meals, the physical meals, you raise them up. They become a truma. They're not just meals, they're a suda. Every one of the meals is a mitzvah on Shabbos. Everything you do on Shabbos, your speech, it's like a mishkan of time. It's a whole different, it's me'ein olam haba, right? So that concept, that's the holiness of time. There's no more holier time than Shabbos, and there's no more holier place than the Mishkan. Okay? Now, Adar is very interesting. You know, the Hebrew months have a meaning. Dar, does anybody know, like a dira? Dar means to dwell. Adar, the word Adar, Aleph, Dar. Aleph is the word aluf, which means like a prince. It's one of the terms that we describe Hashem, royalty. Aluf dar, Hashem dwells. Isn't it unbelievable? That's what the word Adar means, that Hashem dwells. Hashem dwells amongst us this month. This is a special month for the Jewish people. Mishenichnas Adar, marvim b'simcha. With the coming of Adar, we increase our joy. Therefore, it's during this month we read about Hashem's dwelling place, the Mishkan. All the portions that we read about the building of Mishkan are always in Adar. Aluf Dar, Hashem dwells. Again, another statement, V'shachanti b'seichem, I'll dwell amongst you, even we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Adar, Hashem dwells amongst the Jewish people. It's a special time, just like they compare Elul to Tishrei. You know, you do a tshuva meyira, a fear for the upcoming days of awe. Adar is to Nisan. It's a preparation of a tshuva ma'ava, a tshuva out of love, Purim and Pesach. You know, two big holidays of redemption. Okay? So that's the significance. Adar Hashem dwells with us. The building of the tabernacles, the Mishkan of Zman, Shabbos, these are all tied together. I just want to finish with this the following note, and that is that it's kedai for everybody to make their own little Mishkan to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm talking about a Mishkan, a tabernacle of time. I don't know what, you know, you find some little place in the house and maybe every day take 10 minutes, 5 minutes and seclude yourself and just talk and reflect what's going on. Make that a Mishkan of Zman to Hashem. Dedicate, you know, we get so much in a rut and go from routine to routine that we forget who we are, what our relationship is, what the heck we're doing here. You know? Stop! 5 minutes, designated time, whatever it is, 5 minutes before you go to bed. Sit, think, talk to Hashem, talk to him in English, you know? Make that time your particular truma, your offering to Hashem. The offering of yourself, the offering of your heart, the most, there's nothing more valuable, no more valuable commodity you give Hashem is that your heart, your willingness to give. Just like the offerings in the Mishkan, the biggest offering was their willingness, the machshava, what was behind it. So too, every day, we should take some time out, right? Stop and think and dedicate that as our Mishkan of Zman to Hashem and talk to Him and reflect our hopes and our prayers, how we want to get close to Him and ask Him to strengthen us and to lead us. To in fact make ourselves into a Mishkan to Hashem and make our home a Mishkan that He can dwell with us for all times in all generations. Thank you. Good chance.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.